16. I am here, of course, with Gray. Gray, I have a feeling this is going to be an epic. This is going to be a 2016 memories and review for both of us kind of show.
Yeah, I think almost guaranteed. This is like, I mean, we got Jose fucking Canseco on the podcast. Pardon my French. I don't even know if fucking is French, to be honest. I mean, French people do. But anyway, Jose Canseco is going to be on the podcast. What?
Oh, that is unbelievable. We are so excited for this. Oh my God.
I want to ask him about his twitch. Remember the twitch every time he came into the batter's box?
Jose Canseco played before my time.
You've never seen him off at bat?
Highlighter too.
How long before? When were you born? What year?
Oh, my God. End of 87.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, so you kind of ushered in. So you and Jose sort of came on the scene at the same time.
So you're saying he's my dad?
Wow. No. I'm saying you guys emerged into the world sort of around it, like the world's vagina.
We emerged like the beautiful peacocks we are, right at the same time.
Oh my God! Jose Canseco's a total peacock.
Oh my God!
First question: Are you or are you not a peacock? No, I got some good ones for Jose.
I know.
Some good questions. Maybe you should start it first. I don't know. Play it by ear.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We never have a plan. Just like this whole podcast. It can just be called the Never Have a Plan.
Can you tell? All right. Enough of Jose. Let's do some real fantasy.
No, I've got something real for you first. All right, so where I work, it's like this big, like, complex. Well, it's not like a complex. It's like a bunch of buildings, but there's like a PA that pipes through music through a lot of speakers, and they just play the pop hits. It's awful. But I'm walking around this morning, and guess what's on? Can't Keep My Hands to Myself.
Oh, my God, that's my jammy jam.
I know.
I got to come clean real fast. I am your office DJ. I sit up I stand on the third floor balcony with headphones on and glow sticks, and I DJ off of my Apple computer.
Wow, that would be awesome. It made me ponder life in that if I hear I can't keep my hands to myself and think of Gray, like, that can't be a good thing.
Oh, man. Do they play the Cake by the Ocean song? Because that is the worst song ever.
I know that one's your favorite. Well, we have another song that might make another appearance about a certain pitcher at some point. We're going to talk some pitchers, some hitters, and, of course, to Jose Canseco. But, great, let's start the show with a little new game I've invented. It's called Gray, are you interested in me?
This game sounds less mildly racist than the Ben Revere Denard Span game.
Real quick, which one would you own?
I'm interested now.
I own Denard Span, but Revere's on the wire. Which one should I get?
No, don't even. Don't get them started again.
All right, so Gray, would you be interested in a pitcher that has he's a starting pitcher, he's pitched the whole year, that has a K rate of 10.37.
Yeah, definitely.
What about if his walk rate was 2.16?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So you're definitely interested. And what if his last five starts, he's got a 3 ERA, a 1 whip, and a 37-5 strikeout to walk in 30 innings?
Yeah, no doubt.
That's so you definitely liking Michael Pineda, huh?
Ah, see, you got me.
I knew, see.
I knew this new game was gonna make me look dumb. You got me. Now I honestly, as I was saying on the site today, which is actually Monday for people listening on Tuesday, Pineda has been better, and I'm willing to give him another shot. For a while I was totally against him. But it seems like his bad luck has corrected itself, and he is, he's obviously been good for almost the last month. So, yeah, I mean, I would give him a shot for sure.
All right. So there you go. There's no. All right. So bachelor number two. Gray, are you interested in me? I have some pretty crazy popcorn numbers. You ready for this?
Yeah, go ahead.
I've hit 11 home runs, and I have 17 steals on the season.
Oh, wait, don't even say it. This is, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to guess the person, but can I try and guess?
Sure.
Leonis Martin?
No, that's a good guess, though. You're.
I don't know if he has that many steals, to be honest.
You're in the right.
I know he does have about that many homers.
You're in the right milieu. They're both outfielders. Both have had terrible seasons before. Mm-hmm. According to, I looked at Yahoo's, whatever, past 14 days, he's the number one player, and he's been playing all year.
Yeah, I'm interested for sure. I don't know who it is.
I don't think this will help you at all, but his profile picture, it kind of looks like he's like what would Ted look like if he accidentally went doo-doo on the carpet?
Are you talking about Odubel Herrera?
No, but he looks like he did something.
I had to explain that for a second.
Okay,
Odubel Herrera looks so pissed off. And actually, that Odubel Herrera has what my face is if Ted craps on the carpet, because Odubel looks so pissed off in his photo. He looks like someone just farted in his face. He's like, I hate everyone. Goodbye.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, he does look pretty upset. You know, maybe these two could reenact this whole situation.
who are you talking about?
All right, I am talking about Melvin Upton Jr.
Ah, wow. Yeah, I was surprised about a month ago. I saw on our player radar, he was top 10 for outfielders, and let me see, real quick, looking right now. Yep, he's 17th overall for outfielders, right between Adam Duvall and Chris Davis. So, yeah, I know, it's kind of crazy, but he has been extremely valuable in a surprising way. And I'm looking at his picture now, and he does look pissed off. He looks kind of pissed off.
No, he's just, like, ashamed of, like, what
oh,
he...
like, oh, he just pooped on the carpet?
Yeah.
Okay, he's kind of embarrassed.
Yeah, see what I did. All right, yeah. I'll leave you at home to Google and see if you get the same reaction. All right, next player. I'm also an outfielder, but I'm young, Greg. I'm not old like Melvin Upton.
Okay.
So I'm a newer player. I don't have 100 at-bats yet. So I was called up this year. If he got an at-bat or two last year, it was a cup of coffee. I don't know. He was a decently ranked prospect. And after a cold start, these are his numbers his last 12 games. 317, 2 home runs, 2 steals, and 383 OBP.
I know.
This was, like, I'm not expecting you to guess it. The game is...
I know, but I was trying... I thought it'd be fun if I could guess him. But, yeah, I have no idea. Who is it?
No, you got to tell me if you're interested. That's the point of the game, damn it.
Oh, my bad. I'm messing up the new game. I am interested, but not in a way where I would drop someone more established. That's a really... You're giving me a really small sample.
I know.
Sorry. All right.
this is Twins outfielder Max Kepler.
Oh yeah, that's right. He has been hot recently. I mentioned him too on the site. Oh well, I mean, Jiminy Crickets. I mentioned everyone.
That's a good point.
And I did say Jiminy Crickets. Melvin Upton I like more than Kepler, but both of them kind of give me the mass.
Yeah. I agree. I own Kepler and RCL for right now. But it's just because it's 5 outfielders and I stream a lot and he's just happened to be there right now.
Yeah, no, I could see streaming him. If I wouldn't drop anyone that worthwhile, but he was also, like you said, I mean, he was a decent prospect, which is, you know, it's kind of weird. I mean, I've said this before too, but it's interesting to me how, like, some guys come up and they're like, oh, you know, top prospect, everyone grabs them, and then they don't do well right off the bat, and everyone drops them, and then no one can ever get excited for them again. It's like you have to really, like, twist arms to get people excited for a guy who's disappointed even once.
First impressions are everything.
Yeah, apparently. I'm looking still at our player rater with outfielders, and the top five, this is a little bit off topic, but not totally, because we are talking fantasy. It's Mookie Betts, Ian Desmond,
oh my God,
Mike Trout, Will Myers, and Mark Trumbo.
Myers.
Number six is Jay Bruce.
Oh my God, the season of Jay Bruce.
Seven, Chris Bryant, Sterling Marte, Carlos Gonzalez, and then George Springer with Polanco number 11. Crazy.
This is out of control. It's been a crazy year. Yeah. All right, Greg, I've got one more for you. Bachelor number four.
I think there's only three usually, but okay, go ahead.
This is a bonus edition. I'm a young pitcher. I'm 23 years old. So I'm not old. You interested yet?
Yeah. I'm interested in just your age. No, come on. Give me more.
On the season, he's got a 7.83 Ks to 2.53 walks.
I'm not interested already.
Meh. Season, he's got a 3.74 ERA and a 1.18 whip.
It sounds kind of like a streamer, but okay. Watch it be someone who I own. Yeah, go ahead.
Now, all right, well, it's going to get better. Last nine starts, he has a 2.40 ERA.
Okay.
And the last four starts, he's got a 0.96 ERA with 25 strikeouts to 5 walks in 28 innings.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I'm interested. That sounds like someone I would own. Who is it?
It's someone that you called, oh, he's so meh, right? It's Zach Davies! Woo!
Yeah, his K rate was kind of meh. But, yeah, I mean, I would own him. I'd probably stream him.
Would you rather stream Zach Davies right now or, CC Sabathia was the one we kept doing earlier.
Oh. You know, it depends on the matchup, really. I would probably go Davies.
You gotta take Davies. Sabathia finally had a bad start. It's coming off the wagon, which maybe isn't the best metaphor for CC Sabathia. Davies or Pineda, rest of the season?
Oh, Pineda, for sure. I mean, his K rate is so much better. You would have to go that way, too. Come on.
I don't know. It's I think it's close. I mean, Pineda gives up so many mother effing home runs, and he pitches in that park in the AL. Yeah, Davies isn't in a great park, but at least he's in the
Davies,
NL.
Davies park's probably worse. Maybe not worse, but it's about as bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, and
you get pitchers, you know. Yeah, all that whole NL AL thing.
It's not like one's that much better than the other. I mean, they're both kind of whatever. Even on our player rater, Sabathia is the 51st most valuable pitcher so far, and Davies is the 53rd. So they're separated by like nothing.
Yeah, true. Well,
technically they're separated by Velasquez, but
yeah. I've got one more for you. I'm a young pitcher. I've got 24 strikeouts in my last 23.1 innings. That's more than one strikeout per inning. Who is it, Gray?
What? Oh, no.
Ah!
Oh,
no! Woo! Where are you now, Gray? I got the right music this time. Get your glow sticks and Mac computer back out, Gray, because he had some DJing to do. But Joe Ross has been just okay. At least the strikeouts have been better.
Yeah, no, and he's right now he's the 44th most valuable starter on the player radar, and that's about where I would put him, even though you have him around, what, 15?
Oh my God, it's not that high, but the pitchers have been so bad this year.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, well, we'll talk more pitchers and ranks later in the show, Gray. You all know it's more confusing than ranking pitchers the rest of the season?
Finding a seat for an event.
Unless you're on SeatGeek, it's easier. They've come a long way from all those other ticket sites and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. It's where I go to get tickets, and sorry, audience, I will be gone next week because I will be in Washington, D.C. for July 4th to see the Brewers play the Nationals from tickets I bought on SeatGeek, Gray.
Ooh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, I just had it on my phone, and SeatGeek does a price comparison for you. They search multiple sites. It was easy to find the best deal. I got third row in the outfield. I'm very excited for it. And as always, SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. On the app, there's little green, yellow, red buttons. You just go for the green. Go for the green ones. Green means go, I think. To get $20 off like I did, they just sent me $20 on PayPal. I got it already. All you got to do is get the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, add a promo code, put in promo code RAZMLB, all caps, RAZZMLB, and SeatGeek will give you $20 after you've made your first purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code RAZMLB today. Oh my God, Gray, I am excited for this. Are you excited for this?
Oh, is this Canseco now?
It is Canseco time. We are about to call him. This is going to be amazing. We talked with his team. They said they're totally cool with it being a comedy show. They said that Jose's going to dish it back to us if we dish it to him.
All right, let's get dishing. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, I got Jose on the phone.
Hey, Jose, how you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good, good, thanks. We're getting set to record here. Can you hear us all right?
Yep, you're fine.
Awesome. Hey, what's going on, Jose? It's I'm Gray, and that's JB.
What's up, guys?
Cool, so we'll record, I'll count us down, and when we say goodbye our first time, that's just for a nice podcast edit. We'll do a more informal goodbye before you have to hang up, all right?
Okay.
Cool. All right, here we go, guys. 3, 2, 1. And joining us on the Razzball Baseball Podcast, legendary baseball player, former AL MVP, MLB superstar, and subject of the new documentary, Jose Canseco, The Truth Hurts. Jose Canseco, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
Good. Good to be here.
Yeah, well, it's good to talk to you, Jose. I've been a big fan of yours for a long time. I was an A's fan back in the 80s, so, you know, good for you, bro.
Thank you.
So, yeah, Reggie Jackson, wasn't he? Are you still a Reggie Jackson fan, Gray?
I was a Reggie Jackson fan for a long time. Hey, Jose, so did you ever hook up with Madonna or what?
Never.
Did she just want your sperm? What was that all about?
What was that, Jose?
Hello? Jose?
Hello?
Hello?
You still there? Well, you made him hang up, Gray.
Jose? Where are you at, man? Hello?
Yep, the phone went blank.
Maybe he just got disconnected. Try him back. You got his phone number.
Hello?
Hey, this is JB calling you back. We got disconnected.
Yeah, he's done. That was a stupid question, guys. Very stupid. We got a positive thing going, and your second question, you just can't lead with that. That's just the worst. You know, but it's just, he just called and bitched me out. So we had an awesome fucking morning. So just really dumb question.
I'm sorry. I read the same question in the San Francisco Weekly, and he answered it fine. So I just figured.
Yeah. But you don't lead with it. You know, it's like it's a bad leading question. You're trying to get a guy that's been beat to shit. He got the kick kicked out of him.
I'm a huge fan too. So that's a shame.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, fifth or sixth question, maybe, but he doesn't know you. And, you know, and I've been trying to deal with his mentality for 3 or 4 years. And that would have been the third day question. But,
yeah,
you know, whatever. Yeah. Like, I'm not the writer. I'm not, you guys got a hot show, and I'm not going to, you know, I'm just going to forget this happened and just hang up. But you know, I'm sorry it didn't work out.
All right, then. Later.
All right, thank you.
Yep. Well, there you go, Greg. Our interview with Jose Canseco.
Wow. Talk about fucking touchy. Jesus Christ. What did Madonna do to him? Oh, my God, dude. That was fucking crazy.
Oh.
That was seriously fucking insane. What talk? Jesus. Talk about roid rage, though. Wow. Okay, whatever. I'm sorry I fucked it up for you, JB. I am. I honestly, if I didn't read it in the San Francisco Weekly, like, literally 10 minutes ago, I wouldn't have even said anything.
His candor, the whole, he was like, hey.
He didn't want to be on the call. He didn't want any part of it. So yeah. that was an easy out for him, but, I mean, you know, whatever.
And if anyone listening doesn't think that's him, well, that supposedly was.
That was the shortest interview ever.
real. That was, you're listening to what happened real. Maybe should I try to edit it down a little bit with some of the calls, but that's what really happened.
Yeah, no, definitely. That was it. That was Jose Canseco's. I'd like to thank Jose for being on the show. That was the best interview. I think that interview was better than the interview I did of Matthew Berry back in the day.
Oh, I actually read that. That was pretty funny. He was not happy. Why are you pissing everyone off, Gray?
Oh, my God. Seriously. People are, like, way too sensitive. And honestly, I am not even fucking around when I say I am a supporter of Jose. Like, I feel like Major League Baseball acts like he's the bad guy just because he wrote a book and exposed all their shit. But so what? He made money on it. Who doesn't do shit to make money? I mean, I went to Starbucks today, and guess what? People are there trying to make money, working. You know, so I was a big supporter of Jose versus MLB. I feel like Bud Selig really is the to blame for what happened with the steroids in the 90s. But honestly, don't talk to Jose about Madonna.
Even though he quotes it I've seen it everywhere.
It's like the first, it's the, like in the San Francisco Weekly, I just read an article, like I Googled Jose for the most recent interview, and I got an interview in the San Francisco Weekly where he's talking about Madonna. So I'm sorry. Today he doesn't want to talk about it. Yesterday he did. Whatever. Fuck Jose. This is like fucking ridiculous. I can't even believe the interview's over that fast. Oh my God. That was the best.
All right, great. Let's get on with our show. All right, Gray, I know I said that let's get back to the show, but there's no way we're not talking about this for a long time still.
Wow. 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 That was probably – I'm going to tweet at the Guinness Book of World Records to see if that was the shortest interview ever.
if you cut out the intro part, which I left in just so you could get the whole experience, it was maybe a 30-second interview. It was probably the least words of an interview because all his words were one-word answers anyway.
Oh, my God. That was the best. That was actually, you know – On a serious note, not that it's not completely serious, but like I feel like because all this time I've always been like, you know, I think Jose's got a raw deal. I think, you know, there's people like MLB they should have shared the blame or even held the brunt of the blame for the steroids. And Jose was like, I was watching a video of Jose at, you know, in front of the Senate hearings, and Bernie Sanders was interviewing him and all these other guys and Sosa and Palmeiro and McGuire. And no one else was telling the truth. Jose was the only one saying that there were steroids involved. So I was always like, you know, Jose at least was telling the truth. Like, he gets a bad rap. But now, after that interview, I feel like I understand why the media doesn't give him a fair shake, because he is a total dick. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I'm not the most surprised he hung up.
I know. Okay. But to be fair, he could have easily said to us, I don't want to talk about that. Let's talk about baseball. And I would happily switch gears and been like, okay, no Madonna questions. Yeah. I got no problem. I mean, Madonna hasn't been a thing for 30 years. I'm fine with avoiding the Madonna questions.
Yeah.
I don't mind not going over old stuff with Jose. I could have easily talked to him about what's going on now. I could have talked to him about baseball. I could have talked about a lot of things, but he didn't even give us that opportunity. So, you know, whatever.
All right, a couple questions for you. One, Gray, should we throw that into our Pulitzer submission, this podcast?
We are totally... Oh, my God. Like, I could see, like, the final three is going to be, let's see, Charlie Rose... There might be a, you know, because we just lost Maury Schaefer this year. He might be in there. And then us with the Jose interview. For sure. For sure.
And the second thing I've got to ask you is, like, your entire childhood crushed now, because Reggie Jackson wouldn't even look at you. And now Jose Canseco hung up on you. And, he wouldn't even let you ask more than one question.
I know. Good old Jose. No, I was actually more of a Maguire fan on the A's. But even Maguire, I mean, it's hard to really be a fan for these guys. I mean, are you still a big fan of your child? Like, I still, you know, I obviously like, Reggie to a certain extent, but I'm not the fan I was 30 years ago, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that would be weird. that would be a little Celtic pride-ish if I was kidnapping childhood heroes and stuff. I'm a little bit past it, but yeah. Who was your big baseball guy growing up?
Dude, I don't know. I really liked Pedro Martinez, but I didn't have a team growing up. Like,
didn't have the Brewers?
No, I got to the Brewers by, like, middle school, high school, and by then I didn't really have, you know, quote-unquote childhood heroes. I liked NBA more when I was a kid. I really liked Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller was awesome.
Oh, you and Cougs.
She likes Reggie Miller?
Oh, yeah. She's from Indiana.
Oh, so. Cool.
Yeah,
well,
yeah. Her family had season tickets, so she used to go to every, like, playoff game, and she was there for... I believe the Spike Lee one was in Indiana.
Oh, the choking one? No, that was... Was that in Indiana? I would imagine it'd be in New York.
I think it was. I forget. But she went to all those. She's a huge Reggie Miller fan.
Cool. Well, maybe Cougs and I will interview Reggie Miller. You won't be invited based on your interview skills.
Okay. So, Reggie, what's the deal with Madonna? Does she want your sperm or not?
And if we have any Brewers on, you are not invited.
Okay, Ryan Braun, let me ask you, seriously, who wants your sperm? Give me a list.
Oh, my God. Oh, Gray's going to work on his interview skills before our next guest.
Oh, well.
it's so hard to focus on baseball after that. I don't know. Who's been good? Who knows? Wilson Contreras, he's been all right.
Yeah, he's been pretty good, sure.
Yeah, I remember...
I'm pretty impressed that they're giving him at-bats. Like, not that... I mean, obviously, he's great. I just figured that they would just go with status quo of Montero and Ross. Well, Ross is... He's for Leicester. But I would figure they would have just went with Montero consistently for catching. But, yeah, I don't know. Contreras has now gotten some outfield starts. I believe he started at first base one game. Yeah, he's definitely getting a lot more at-bats than I thought he would.
I feel like 9 times out of 10, a prospect comes up and is good, but as you say, doesn't push the status quo. But this is like, I wish I had just immediately added him everywhere. Like, I'm sure most people did, the one league I have him is REL, which is awesome. But yeah, I was a little slow to it. I was like, yeah, they're going to Schwarber him. He'll play like twice a week, go down in 2 weeks, and I don't want to burn a redraft roster spot on that. Man, oh, really? Was that wrong. Yeah, because, well, I mean, that's what they said they were going to do. And yes, teams lie about everything, but...
Yeah, I rarely have that sort of attitude when it comes to... Maybe because I just do so many pickups, but I always have at least one spot on every team where I'm like, you know, like right now, I have Ryan Rayburn because they're the Rockies are playing in Coors. I would have dropped Rayburn in a second for Contreras if I had that opportunity. You know, and it's like that on just about all my teams. Very, very few teams do I, unless they're super deep, and the super deep teams, these guys aren't available anyway, so it doesn't even matter. But I would have, like, Giolito just got called up. I would grab him in every league. It doesn't matter whether or not he does well, stays in the rotation. You have to have at least one spot on your roster to be able to grab Giolito or Contreras or Trey Turner when he's called up. Any of these guys, really.
Yeah, we'll go to Giolito in 1 second. I just want to note, Contreras is 8 games. He's either started every game or the 2 he didn't start, he hit a pinch hit home run, and he's reached base every game so far.
Yeah,
that's
pretty.
That's out of control.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, obviously, it's not going to stay like that, but he has, I mean, all through the minors, he has hit not only, like, for power, but he's hit, like, he reminds me kind of his stats. I think he has more speed, but if you remember, like, a young Victor Martinez, like, just a great average, solid power, just someone who you really like, wow, he's a number one catcher in the making. If, you know, if not even already next year, Contreras could be as good as Posey.
Yeah,
if, that's assuming, you know, 140 games and he's the everyday catcher.
Rest of season, would you rather own Wilson Contreras or your absolutely hated, you hate this guy worse than you hate Jose Canseco? Yeah, there you go. Which one rest of season?
No, I'd go LaCroix at this point. If Contreras would have been called up in March or April or whatever, and I would have had the choice then, I would have said Contreras. But LaCroix, he's having a good season, and you know, you don't really know Contreras's playing time. You know, I mean, as of right now, it looks like they're going to be able to get him at bats in at least 5 games a week, but that could change real fast. You don't know. Like, Montero gets hot, Contreras goes to the bench. Contreras gets cold, Contreras goes to the bench. If any of the pitchers say to Madden, like, hey, you know, we want Montero catching us, or we want Ross, we don't want, like, they're not going to, like, Contreras has no say in anything right now. And all he can do is hopefully hit and stay in the lineup.
I swear I accidentally gonged you. I forgot I had the link up, and then it was really quiet. That was an accident, people at home.
Oh, I didn't even hear it.
Yeah, I didn't have it on loud. I accidentally hit the link.
No, it's cool. I'm glad that you have it on the ready, though.
Yeah,
makes me feel very good. I'm like the like the mouse that is sitting, like, trying to grab the cheese and keeps getting electrocuted. I'm just shaking, waiting for a gong.
You've been prematurely gonged. All right, a few Nationals notes. So Steven, let's start with Strasburg because he went to the DL with the back issue. Is this just like, you think, you know, 15-day deal, no big? Or is it, all right, this guy had trapezius injury last year, all sorts of neck and back stuff. Are you worried?
Well, I would say, first of all, I don't know if it was the back. I'm getting conflicting reports.
Like, oh, really?
The Washington Post said that he had 2 ribs pop out, and he had to have them popped into place.
Oh,
so,
God. I didn't see that part.
So, he had dislocated ribs, according to Sir, and even, like, Federal Baseball, which is a Nationals blog, they all said it was the ribs. So, yeah, I don't know. But maybe they're saying the ribs, and it's the back, and it's the trapezius from last year. I have no idea. I'm not thrilled by this latest development, but, I mean, what are you going to do? You DL them and hope for the best, right?
Yeah, while lifting weights, why are baseball players working out in the middle of the season?
Why are they working out at all?
I know.
Did no one ever see Babe Ruth?
I know.
Baseball player ever, and he looked like a fat turd.
And you could just take steroids and get them automatically. Let's ask Jose about that.
Let's call him back.
Let's see.
Okay, sorry about the sperm question. I got one other quick question.
So Strasburg is on the DL, and as you mentioned, Lucas Giolito, huge prospect, is up a lot sooner than I thought. A lot of people were speculating that it was going to be, you know, Petit, the long man, or whomever. I think Voth was thrown in there, but they call up their big prospect Giolito. You said you're adding him everywhere you can, but do you think he sticks in the rotation rest of the season?
No.
Okay, so if he has a really...
I don't, but I am still adding him. Like I just said, I don't. It doesn't matter if he sticks. You add him now, and if he breaks out, then you just got yourself a lottery ticket. But do I think he's going to be good this year and stick in the rotation? Nah, probably not. But it's worth it to try him.
If he gets like double-digit strikeouts in his first start, you're just going to shop him high, right?
Yeah, so high. But, you know, I think Gio, Gonzalez, that is really due to get bumped from the rotation. So even if Strasburg comes back, Gonzalez could get bumped and Giolito could stay. So it's not like a foregone conclusion that Giolito is going to get sent down to the minors, but I will say it's more than likely, I would think. Yeah, maybe I give it like a 60% chance of getting sent down. And he has only maybe a 15% chance of being an ace this year. But for that 15% chance, definitely grab him and see what happens.
Another quick Nationals note. Trey Turner starting in center field. He's starting in center field tonight.
Yeah, I saw that. Yesterday. Yeah, because Dusty can't get enough of Danny Espinosa. He's like... I don't know. We can put Trey Turner anywhere in the outfield, but we can't move Espinosa.
He's a big fan of mustache rides.
yeah. Well, in Dusty's, in his defense, Ben Revere has been pretty terrible this year, and Michael Taylor hasn't been much better.
Yeah, that's true.
Taylor, bumbled that ground ball to him last week. I mean, that really must have put him in the doghouse big time.
Would you, you said Revere is struggling. Would you drop him for Denard Span? okay, you scoffed at this when we had our 30-second pre-show meeting. But Mark Reynolds has 4 home runs in the past week. Do you care?
Well, I didn't scoff as much as the fact that he's just a hot potato. If he's in Coors, then he should be owned for the time he's in Coors and started. It's just like how I just said I have Rayburn on one team. You want guys that are in Coors. It doesn't matter who they are. So Reynolds seems like he's got a hot bat and he's in Coors. So, yeah, I'd grab him. But, I mean, he's not a 290 hitter. But in Coors, maybe he's a 250 hitter, which is a lot better than the 190 hitter he was everywhere else. It's kind of crazy how much Coors really boost people's values. I mean, you look at Corey Dickerson, and right now he's barely ownable in a 12-team league.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, when he was he's a Rocky, and he was a top 15 outfielder.
Yeah, it's out of control. Yeah, it makes baseball interesting. One part of me wants to say they need to keep working on the humidor, make it even, and figure shit out. But the other half of me is like, baseball's interesting. There's quirks that, you know, like, a lot of people can't exploit right, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think, especially with Coors, they have to figure out something. Like, on a real baseball standpoint, they have to figure out something with their pitching, because you can't have a team that, you know, can't have any pitchers, and no pitchers would want to sign there. It's just such a mess. And that's saying after, you know, this year, Chatwood and Gray have been decent on occasion, but still, even they, I mean, I think Gray has a ERA close to five. And, you know, Chatwood's been better, but are you really trusting him in Coors? So, you know, it's like, it's good for hitters, but I don't know how you, and I don't think the Rockies, their management hasn't really figured it out either. It's like, how do you conquer the fact that you can't have a decent starter? Like, you can't beat everyone 10-9 every game.
Yeah, so, it is. But another place where you can exploit these matchups is no halftime, Gray. Woo!
Ooh, very nice.
If you haven't tried out the No Halftime app, get it now. It's awesome. It's one-on-one fantasy matchups using DFS points, and it really parallels this show, Gray, because if you like this show, you like a show that has, like, no planning. You don't have time to put together a framework or do research. You know, you just want to play. You just want a little fantasy, whatever. That's what No Halftime is. It's one-on-one fantasy matchups, not doing a full DFS roster. It's great casual play. You can play with your friends. You can play in leagues. We have a Razzball League. You should join the Razzball League. It's a ton of fun. They've got all major sports on there, including the Euro tournament. They've got golf. They'll have football and basketball when those start back up. And obviously, they have baseball on there. And for the contest I'm going to do for tomorrow, Gray, I'm going to pick Mark Reynolds. He's hot and at Coors against the Blue Jays. I almost said the Raptors. That's what basketball mind for you. Who's like a first baseman that's like cold right now? But the big name.
I don't know. Adam Lind? Is he cold?
What about Todd Frazier?
I'm just throwing out a name. I don't know if he is cold.
What about Todd Frazier? He's still been pretty cold.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Todd Frazier is like Homer and nothing else guy.
Yeah, so I'm going to take on tomorrow, Wednesday, Mark Reynolds against Toronto. Todd Frazier's home facing the Twins. And it should be a pretty good one. I'm going to make a $5 contest. I'm going to tweet it out. I invited the Razzball League. It's a ton of fun. I can make a contest that easy while talking. It's a good time. And now when you get the app, put in promo code Razz, R-A-Z-Z, for $10 free to play with. $10 free, which you can use. You can play a few contests. Cash out is free money. And after you use that code and make your first deposit, you get a free shirt. Be sure to get the app. Put in the promo code Razz, R-A-Z-Z. Join the Razzball League. Be a part of the fun. No Halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break. All right, Gray, are you
in? How about that, I was just thinking, how about that trade that I didn't do with you for Conferto? Remember that?
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, that was awful.
I don't look so dumb anymore, do I?
Mm. No. What was it, Conforto for a closer?
Mm-hmm. How about the trade I did with Ralph for Hosmer and Wade Davis, sending him Todd Frazier and Nomar Mazara? Don't look so bad there either, do I?
No, that's not so bad. How about the one I did? I think I had the most recent trade in that league. I got,
which one?
I got David Ortiz for Dexter Fowler and Tanaka.
Oh, that's good. That's better than your other trade. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm
still hearing about your other trade from Rudy.
I know. Apparently, there's a chat room about this league where everyone makes fun of me, apparently. I don't know no. What these guys... I don't know why these guys are keeping talking about my dumb RCL team.
But not making fun. It's a mild-hearted jest.
Yeah, which is what we gave Jose, but he didn't... He didn't.
Yeah, exactly. We jested all over his face, and he didn't like it. Fucking Jose. I almost called him OJ Canseco, and I think I'm going to start calling him that.
I think you would have hung up right away. Oh, my God. I mean, just like, if you, like, because I don't know Jose Canseco.
You think he would have hung up right away? He did hang up!
Well, maybe even sooner. Would have gone from 30 seconds to 10 pretty quick. I know who Jose Canseco was, obviously, but I didn't like know all the media stuff he did. And check out like his Howard Stern interview. He goes way worse than that.
Oh yeah, no, totally. Of course, he's like I thought he thrived on all that nonsense. I mean, his Twitter feed, he talks about dinosaurs and how there was no gravity back then,
yeah,
so the dinosaurs
that was funny.
Could fly.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was trying to be funny, though. I honestly have no idea. And we'll never know because he won't answer our call.
Oh, Gray. We need to come up with the softballs first before giving him a fastball, right?
Apparently. Oh, well.
So are you interested in Jake Lamb at all? 6 multi-hit games in the last 8. And two of those eight were, six in the past 10, and two of those 10 weren't even starts. So six multi-hit games in his last eight starts, Jake Lamb. 15 home runs, hitting .285. He's obviously most done everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, he should be if he's not. I think Lamb, he's been a guy who they're platooning more than probably a lot of people would like who own him for fantasy, but I think he's done so well. He's the kind of guy where you have to own him, and then when the Diamondbacks don't start him, you either have an empty spot, you let him stay in your lineup, or you move someone else in there and move Lamb to the bench. He's been worth having, even though he's been platooning a bit against lefties.
Yeah, agree. Would you rather have Lamb rest the season or the aforementioned Todd Frazier?
Oh, Frazier, yeah, definitely. But
definitely?
Yeah, no, I would.
Definitely?
Yeah. Yes, definitely. But, I mean, it's obviously a lot closer, and I think Lamb has probably been more valuable thus far. But going forward, I would take Frazier, yeah.
All right. Last night in a nationally televised game on ESPN, prospect Chad Kuhl and his epic pun frenzy name made his debut for the Pirates. What'd you make of Chad Kuhl? Do you care about him at all?
Not really. He looks like a second rate prospect from what I've looked up about him. He's he doesn't have much command. He's also not really, he's not really, I mean, he throws fast though, but he's kind of like, I don't know. I mean, it depends on how much weight you put onto what scouts have said about him, but they've said he's basically a fifth starter / long reliever. So that's usually someone you don't really bother with.
Yeah, it does throw hard, but like you said, it's, you know, nothing's like explosive.
I think yeah.
Best case scenario, he's like what Jordan Zimmermann's doing. His K rate in the minors wasn't great. So.
Right, yeah. And I think, I don't know. I mean, from what I've read about him, his command isn't good, even though it looks like his command has been good in the minors. So I'm assuming that means more like he just can't locate his pitches.
Yeah, his control's good. He's not walking guys, but his command's
right.
Not great.
Right, exactly, yeah.
A pitcher that's much better than that, especially lately, is what the hell is Trevor Bauer doing? He's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's been like 3 or 4 years in the making. It's not like he was, he was never a guy who was considered not good. I mean, he was always like a guy who just didn't put it together. In the minors, he used to have like over 10 K rates, and he came up with a lot of promise. He was one of those guys where back in the day it was like, okay, everyone grab Trevor Bauer, he's gonna be an ace. So it's taken a long time to get there, but it looks like he might finally have turned the corner. And you know, they say the third year starting is usually the year that pitchers put it together. So this is Bauer's third year in the rotation every day. So, yeah, it looks like he's finally turned that corner.
And interesting looking at his arsenal, he's ditched his cutter or his slider and in favor of a cutter. You threw the slider 20.8% of the time at 84 miles an hour. Now throws a cutter 16% of the time at 88.7 miles an hour. So, you know, fastball cutters is main stuff, and we've seen that succeed a lot. Plus, he has curveball, changeup, and a split finger, which he doesn't throw almost at all. But got a good mix of pitches. The ingredients are there, and he's doing it now. Where do I have Bauer? I probably don't have him high enough, do I?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Do you? No.
I moved him up to 50. I moved him up to 50.
I would say, at this point, he's over Nola. I don't trust Estrada. I'd probably put him over even Keuchel. Don't have him in a bad location, though. He's around a top 50 guy right now.
All right. Who I wrote my pitcher profile on was Anthony DeSclafani. 8 shutout innings, only 5 hits, no walks, 5 strikeouts. And didn't let a base runner get to second base in that start. And I know a lot of people will say, oh, it's the Padres, but the Padres have actually been pretty good the past month. I mean, mm-hmm. good for them. I think they're fourth in the majors in runs, which is not bad at all. So yeah. I'm not going to throw that one out. Do you like Desclafani?
You know, it's hard for me to like get completely behind him because his K rate is kind of so whatever.
Oh, you win the K rate.
Well, I mean, you know, it's like, I don't know, is it worth refreshing everyone? You know, I like the K rate because a hitter, you know, a hitter gets on first. Now the pitcher's got zero outs and the hitter got on first and then he gets moved over to second. So there's one out and the man on second. Now, if he gives up, you know, if he can strike out two guys, then no runs are going to score. And if he gives up a fly ball and then say a wild pitch, someone scoring, like you can score from first on only one hit, whereas if you strike out guys, it just changes the whole complexity of the game. It becomes a different ball game when a pitcher can strike out guys. They can get into jams and they can strike people out and get out of jams. If a guy is relying on ground balls and fly balls, it can get ugly pretty quickly if his luck changes. So I like Descofani, but I don't love him. I'm like kind of on the fence. I would pick him up at this point because he's in a good groove, but his xFIP is almost 4.5, and he's left a ton of guys on base. So I don't know. I don't trust him, but I would pick him up.
All right. Completely serious and on-topic question. Do you like the movie Spaceballs?
Yeah.
Okay. You said jam a lot. And I wanted to be sure our comedy minds were in sync, that you like... Some people really don't like Spaceballs.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's dumb.
I love Spaceballs. Who doesn't like Spaceballs?
I don't remember. I've had a conversation with a few people.
Maybe on our next podcast, we'll interview someone who doesn't like Spaceballs.
let's say.
And then ask him about sperm.
we'll start off the interview. But we'll start off every interview with Spaceballs, so at least we get one question answered. And then we'll let Gray do whatever the hell he wants and piss everyone off, right?
We should actually have a game where we get a guest on. We see how long until we can get them to hang up. we'll see how long it takes for Gray to get them to hang up.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'll just be like constantly doing this, and the guest is like, "What the hell is that noise?" I'm like, "I'm trying to gog them out. It's not working." Oh man. So Aaron Nola has been pretty terrible. Are you on or off the Nola train?
I would like to hold him on my bench. I can't start him anywhere because he has been so awful in his last three starts. So I wouldn't start him in his next start. It doesn't even matter who he's going against. I would not start him, but I would try and hold him to see if he can work out whatever the problem is. I'm guessing he has either a dead arm or there's something wrong with his mechanics right now.
I saw somewhere that he felt like he was rushing his delivery.
Mechanics then. Something.
I think that he might be pressing because the Phillies have been... I mean, they were like a surprise 500 team or so for a while, and now they're just like the worst team in the league.
which was pretty predictable if you look at their team. Yeah.
Looks like his next start, oh my God, is home, but they face the Royals. Yeah. Yeah, not doing
yeah, that's not a hard one to sit him on.
Yeah, that's a hard pass. Hard pass, right? Rest of season, Bauer or Nola?
I'd have to go Nola, even though that could probably bite me in the ass. God, that's close, though. Oh, man, maybe Bauer, you know? Because Bauer looks like he's turned the corner. Their K rates and walk rates aren't really that off from each other. Yeah. I want to switch. I'll say Bauer, but damn, that's really close.
Yeah, I feel like right around like 53 or so, that's where I have Chris Tillman, 52, Sonny Gray, Gausman, 51. He was okay his last start. And then it's like those guys and like Paxton. It's like such a hodgepodge in that range.
Yeah, I would probably move Pineda up into that range too at this point.
Yeah, maybe I should. I moved him up to 69.
Hello, you ain't get a room.
That's a Kosenko and Madonna question, Greg. one more pitcher I want to bring up, and if you didn't scoff at Matt Reynolds, you scoffed at this one, that's for sure. But I watched a little bit of Kendall Graveman's last start against the Angels because I own some Angels on one of my teams. And I was like, yeah, I've never liked this guy. He doesn't throw very hard. Blech. He was throwing 95 with a 91-mile-an-hour cutter.
Wow.
That's
surprising. I wonder if, there's a lot of that that goes on that we just don't see or because – you know, like the where it says the velocity charts, it says he's a 91, 92 guy, but he's got to hit 95 occasionally. So I don't know. That's interesting. I didn't realize he threw that fast, but I still kind of, he's a ground ball guy. So
I know
he could easily have like a 3-inning, 5-earned run start with no problem.
Oh, for sure. I mean, last start, 92.7 is what Fangraphs had it at on total. But, you know, he was at 91 almost the whole season in that range. But last five, 92.4 plus in all but one start. Cutter, 90 miles an hour, 86, 87 on the cutter earlier. I don't know. It's just and, you know, he only did get one strikeout, but the Angels lead the league by a lot in strikeout rate. I don't know. He pitched well in the game. He just didn't.
The A's? Are you saying the team he was facing?
Yeah, the Angels don't strike out at all, so he only got one strikeout against them. So, I ranked him like 99. That's like not touching him except for in like 16 team leagues, but just someone to star or AL. I'm sure he's owned an AL only, but, you know, really deep mixed leagues like that. I think it might be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. He's not really someone I'm looking at in most leagues, but in deeper leagues, yeah, sure. Why not?
Right. That's pretty much our show. I hope most people's reaction were just like Gray right there. Sure. Why not? I'll listen to another one.
That's a solid ending.
Do you have anything else you want to mention? Any other big moves you made?
I think the Kosenko interview speaks for itself.
Oh, that's true. Oh, I do want to mention the new Cardinals closer. Oh.
Go ahead.
Oh.
Oh, come on. Oh,
we're such a juvenile show.
Oh, man. You should tell people that... put comments in the post if they want.
Why did you just go to read my breakdown? tell me if you like the new O closer.
Oh my god. No, I think I don't think it's really definitely set in stone yet. I think Broxton and Seagrass have, you know, there's a potential for. I messed up.
Ryan Seacrest pitches.
Yeah,
for the
Ryan
Cardinals.
Seacrest.
Yeah. All right.
Kevin Seacrest. Sorry. Seacrest. I think. I don't think it's going to be clear cut that it's O every time, but maybe. I don't know. I guess we'll see. I would definitely own O. In fact, I own Broxton in a couple leagues.
Ew.
And I would own Seacrest.
Ew.
Well. Yeah, what? Oh, come on. Seacrest has an ERA under 3. He's been fine.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Stop the podcast.
And Broxton hasn't given up a run in like a month.
Broxton has been good. But, yeah, this guy could get saves because his ERA is under 3. Analysis. Woo! The O dude's got an ERA of like 160, and his whip is like 0.
I realize that, but like, no manager has ever done anything screwy where they've been like, you know what? There's better hitters coming up in the eighth inning. We're gonna send O out there for the eighth, and then and there's gonna be lefties in the ninth, so we're gonna use Seagrass. I mean, it could go a bunch of different ways. Still, I don't think O is like locked in, and if he was, Matheny would have just said, Oh, is my closer. Instead, Matheny said, yeah, it's going to be a closer by committee. So, yeah, I mean, I think O is the best one. I think that's obvious, but I don't necessarily think he's definitely going to get saves.
All right. Well, that's why we don't talk about closers very much, because
I think like
bullpens are dumb. Said,
if you would have just said, oh, the best guy is going to get saves in Philly in the beginning of the year, you would have said, okay, David Hernandez, you know, forget that. Gomez will never last. And here is Gomez, like, you know, top five in saves. So it's,
yeah, he's really slowed down, though, as we talked about.
Oh, yeah, completely. Yeah, no, I agree.
I know. That wasn't an argument for him being good. I know. But this is why closers are dumb.
Yeah.
Saves is a silly category.
It is true. I had to shut off my air conditioner in order to get on the podcast, and I am literally sweating bullets right now. Can we wrap up the podcast?
And you're not even in the desert anymore. Oh, my God.
It's so hot.
Oh, I mean, you complained about
the sun coming through the window. I had to shut off the air conditioner.
Oh,
I'm dying.
God. Oh, complaining so much.
Oh,
well, thanks, everyone, for listening. Gray has to throw himself in an ice vat. I don't know. But everyone, comment on this podcast with your questions for our next show. I'll be out, as I said, next week for July 4th weekend. But I'll be back the week after that. We'll answer your questions then. Let us know how we did on the Canseco interview. You know, some constructive criticism on Gray's interview skills. And we'll try to do that. And, you know, we'll see if we ever get a podcast guest again. It may never happen. So your criticism might go nowhere. I don't know.
Man. Wait, so did Madonna want your sperm or what,
oh my
man?
God.
Come on. Bro, did she want your sperm? What's up?
You did call him a fairly aggressive bro, the question before.
Hey, bro. I gave him an aggressive bro.
You kind of gave him an aggressive bro. Good, you were like, you played for the A's. Good for you, bro.
I'm giving you the clap. I'm clapping for you. That's the best. I gave him the aggressive bro.
Oh
well.
Oh, this was a good time. Thanks again, everyone, for listening. And are you and Jay going to do a show next week? I don't even know if you've talked about it.
Yeah, I think we are, but it's July 4th, so we'll see.
Yeah, yeah, they'll figure something out. But after that, I'll be back. And Greg, I look forward to talking to you then. Take it easy, man.
Later. Let me see. Chad Cool? What the hell? Who the hell is that? No, I know who he is.
Oh, that's going at the end. Wait, who the hell's this guy? That's how much
Trevor Bauer, who's that? let's see.